This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 206, for the weekend of October 3rd through October 5th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, the last episode of season number 9. Can you believe it, Art?
I cannot.
Yeah, I also can't believe that we got abandoned by our listeners because we didn't have any picks this week. But that's okay. I know that things are can get busy rather quick. I know that I'm busy. Are you busy, Art?
Oh yes, all the time.
Oh, that's okay. You know, we have a little thing that we like to call real life. So enough of this inane chitter chatter. That is mainly my fault. So let's talk about how the box office did last week. So at number one, we have The Equalizer with $31.4 million. At number two, The Maze Runner at $17.4 million. At number three, we have The Box Trolls at $17.3 million, rounded up. At number four, we have This Is Where I Leave You, down to $6.9 million. At number five, we have Dolphin Tale 2, that came in with $4.8 million. At number six, unfortunately, I have to keep going. At number six, No Good Deed, came in with $4.5 million. And number seven, A Walk Among the Tombstones, with $4.2 million. And we're going to go all the way down to seven because both hosts had the number seven movie in their top five. Nah, I'm not saying it's great, but it's not that bad. Well, you know, this is how we go out. Do we go out strong? No.
Right.
This is how we do, as I hear them.
That's how you...
So, Art, why don't you talk about how you and me did with our picks?
Okay, well, you, sir, finished out pretty strong. I mean, generally speaking, you know, you had the first four right. I really can't complain with that. And Walk Among the Tombstones in the last place, in the number five slot, only costing you 2 points. You finished out with a 23. Really can't complain about that. I, on the other hand, I was blazer glorying it. I had Box Trolls in the number one spot, costing me 4 points. I had The Equalizer off by one in second spot. I had Maze Runner off by one in the third spot. I had This Is Where I Leave You, dead on, in the fourth spot. And then I had Walk Among the Tombstones in my last spot, costing me another 2 points for a total of 17. And that is how we did.
All right, so why don't you tell us about the leaderboard for the last time this season?
Okay, the last leaderboard. So, Cougaron finished out on top with 22.6. You finished a point and a half, almost a point and a half behind him in second place with 21.2. I finished in third with 19.7. Tad in fourth with 18.8. And Nick right behind him with 18.7. Nick was very disappointed to hear he was in last place. Maybe that's why he didn't participate.
Oh, that's okay, yeah. Nick. We still love you.
But if he had a good showing, he could have taken that one-tenth of a point. I don't know.
Maybe next season.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, so that's where our traditional contest ends. Now let's move over to the Arts House. So we have three participants, the usual suspects, me, you, and Father Beast. I chose Pride, which came in at $13,662 per screen. Art's pick, Lilting, came in with a lilting $1,567 per screen. And Father Beast chose Two Faces of January, which came in at $7,816. So I end up getting a point. So the final standings. Art holds on with the seven. I came so close with a six, and Father Beast ended up with a four. So, Art, congratulations on winning season 9 of The Arts House.
Thank you.
Which is appropriate since it's your branding in your house. So, yes. So, here's the... So, that ends the Arts House contest for this season. And now let's get over to our details about the Amazon $25 gift card contest. Since we had no players, no one's getting an entry into the hat. So the same number of tickets that we had last week is going to be the final ticket distribution for the contest. So to recap, Kugron has 6, Tad has 4, Nick has 3, and Brittany has 1. And we are going to keep Brittany in the contest, even though she was not a member of good standing. You disagree with that?
I disagree with that. We'll leave her out.
All right. So Kugron, Tad's, and Nick's chances just went up, a little bit. So there are 13 tickets. So Kugron is 6 out of 13, Tad is 4 out of 13, and Nick is 3 out of 13. The drawing will be held at the corporate headquarters of the accounting firm of Santos and Santos.
Yes, with the video feed going out on Brit Does It.
Okay, very good.
Do it the same way we did it last time, and we will have a result in the coming week.
And I will watch it this time.
Okay.
All right. So that ends the segment where we talk about the Amazon $25 gift card contest. And that concludes all the business from last week. So let's talk about season number 10. And what I mean is there's 3 movies coming out this weekend. So Art, why don't you tell us about the first of 3 movies?
Okay, the first of 3 movies. Let us talk about Gone Girl. Gone Girl rated 86% on the tomato meter. 80 reviews counted, 69 fresh, 11 rotten. 98% want to see it out of 26,000 people. Gone Girl, directed by David Fincher and based upon the global bestseller by Gillian Flynn, unearths the secrets at the heart of a modern marriage. On the occasion of his 5th wedding anniversary, Nick Dunn, Ben Affleck, reports that his beautiful wife, Amy, Rosamund Pike, has gone missing. Under pressure from the police and a growing media frenzy, Nick's portrait of a blissful union begins to crumble. Soon, his lies, deceits, and strange behavior have everyone asking the same dark question. Did Nick Dunn kill his wife? Rated R, runtime 2 hours and 25 minutes. And we have Tyler Perry making a showing, Neil Patrick Harris, and I do not recognize any of the other people.
Well, there's only 3 other people, but...
Yes.
I never thought I'd see a movie with Ben Affleck, Tyler Perry, and NPH in the same movie.
You know what? I would have hoped it would have been something better than this.
Because, Tyler Perry's actually just an actor in this movie.
Yeah. Well, he's done that before. Did you see him in Star Trek, the first Star Trek?
Yeah, but he had 2 scenes, maybe?
It was a huge role.
Yeah.
But he wasn't Madea.
True.
And I like that movie.
True.
So.
All right. So, I am moderately excited about going to see this movie, even though I'm not moderately excited about 2 hours and 25 minutes. So, there's
Brittany
that.
Brittany just finished the book.
Oh, okay.
Brittany just finished the book, and she was about maybe 2 chapters in. And I said, what is it about? And she said, it's about blah, 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 blah. I said, oh, so it's going to be blah. And she says, I don't know yet. And by the time she was 5 chapters in, she said, you were exactly right. She said, how did you do that? And I said, that's pretty obvious. So I feel like the book was completely obvious. And we'll see what the people think out in the moving going public. But I was not surprised by any of it.
Hmm. Okay. So we'll see about that. All right. So let's talk about the second movie coming out in wide release, Left Behind. No score yet on the tomato meter. Yeah, we all know what that means. Well, there is 1 rotten review, so we're just going to have to wait for that 0%. The audience score, 90% want to see it out of 6,545 people. So that's a low even for the users. So here's the description. the most important event in the history of mankind is happening right now. In the blink of an eye, the biblical rapture strikes the world. Millions of people disappear without a trace. All that remains are their clothes and belongings, and in an instant, terror and chaos spread around the world. The vanishings cause unmanned vehicles to crash and burn. Planes fall from the sky. Emergency forces everywhere are devastated. Gridlock, riots, and looting overrun the cities. Cats and dogs living together. No, it doesn't say that. Sorry, Ghostbusters. There's no one to help or provide answers. In a moment, the entire planet is plunged, I say, into darkness. Rated PG-13. For some thematic elements, violence slash peril, and brief drug content. Running time, 1 hour and 50 minutes. Top billed in this movie, Nicolas Cage. Funny how they didn't mention that in the description. Leia Thompson. Chad Michael Murray. Jordan Sparks. And Martin Kleba, who you might know as the little person from Pirates of the Caribbean. So, yeah. I don't know. I expected to be sharks and or tornadoes in the poster, but I was disappointed.
Are you sure this isn't based on the Left Behind book series? Because
I have no idea what you're talking about, sir.
Because I would think that if it's not, there'd be some type of, you know, copyright title infringement, you know, deceiving people, making people think that it is because it's got the exact same name and it's about the rapture, and that's just weird.
But wouldn't they be obligated to let us know in the description?
You would think.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I'd be interesting to see if they get a cease and desist, because this is the first I've heard of this movie.
Right. Well, that's probably, yeah, well, that's probably, let's not market it. No one will know.
Right. Let's just, you know, sneak it out there. Yeah.
Pretty much.
That pretty much. Is hilarious. Yeah, I have no interest in seeing this, whether it's played for comedy or played serious. I think this, it seems like a Sci-Fi Channel original. Yes, the sharks and tornadoes, that would be a good
who knows, analysis. They could have left it out of the trailer, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Even watched the trailer. That would be too much time spent on this. I think we're already too invested in this movie.
Sure. Yes.
Let us move on.
Yes, let's move on to movie number 3, or
Annabelle. Also, no score yet on the tomato meter. 2 reviews counted, both of them rotten. 93% want to see it out of 19,000 people. Rated R. Running time, 1 hour 35 minutes. Oh, wait, I just missed the movie info. Here, let me double back and get that description.
No problem.
Before The Conjuring, there was Annabelle. Copyright Warner Brothers.
All right.
Good. Cast, Annabelle Wallace, Ward Horton, Alfred Woodard, Tony Amendola, Brian Howe, Eric Layden. I know none of these people.
Yeah, oh my God. I don't know what to say.
I don't know. And it's so weird that the main character is, the actress name is Annabelle, starring in a movie called Annabelle.
Right.
There's something there that's weirding me out. But it's horror, so maybe it'll do well. I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing either. I'm trying to think of something witty to say about Chucky, but I can't.
No. I can see that from that.
My brain keeps shutting it down.
Trailer picture, yeah. Or what was that other one with the puppets? Silent something.
No, you got me, man.
No, I got nothing there. But there was a movie with puppets, and the puppets were... Oh, that's going to drive me nuts now. Oh, well, whatever. It's not that important.
Well, you'll report on that next week.
No, I won't. I will completely forget about it because I really don't watch horror movies. I actually have to, whenever one of these commercials comes on, I have to fast forward through it or change the channel because it totally creeps Brittany out. So it's doing its job.
Yeah.
I'm just not interested in that job. So.
Right. Okay, we're going to have to talk later about how to draw the audience in. But anyways, All right, so those are the three movies coming out wide release for this weekend. So now we can get to picks. So,
I concede the floor to you, sir.
Okay.
As the man.
I forgot about that part. Yeah, I'm going first.
Yes, you are.
Number one, I'm going to put Gone Girl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put Annabelle number two.
Okay, check and double check.
Three, Equalizer.
Triple check.
Even though at the risk of offending some people, I was listening to a podcast on the way here that just called it Black Taken. Or or Blataken.
Nice. I'm going to use that.
Number four, The Box Trolls. Here's Jeff
quadruple check.
All right. And number five, Left Behind.
Oh, okay. So close.
I'm assuming just as anyone that's loosely related to Nicolas Cage will be in the theater, and that'll be enough for number five. For my arts house pick, I'm going to do Men, Women, and Children. Now, I've heard that Adam Sandler's in this movie, but in spite of that, I think it's going to do well.
Okay.
So those are my picks. Art, it is your turn.
Okay, so if my reaction was any indication, we were very close to a ditto. I am also putting Gone Girl in the first spot. I am putting Annabelle in the second spot. I am putting Equalizer in the third spot. And Box Trolls in the fourth spot. I am going with Maze Runner in the fifth spot.
Yeah. Because
I would not touch Left Behind with a 10-foot pole. We may all burn on that one, pun intended, but we'll see what happens.
Dying chemical burns or, you know, fire and brimstone here.
Yeah, right, okay. Right, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
And then I am going with The Blue Room or Blue Room for my arts house pick just because of the theater count and it's from IFC. So I think foreign's going to hurt it, but we'll see what happens. And those are my picks, good sir.
All right, so we're done foolishly trying to predict what's going to happen this weekend.
Yes.
So now this is a part of the show where we share what we've watched recently. So, Art, what did you watch last week?
Okay. I have continued to watch way too much of Once Upon a Time and still thoroughly enjoying it. Brittany has not caught up with the current season. We started recording it because those won't be available on Netflix, which kicks off with the Frozen tie-in. I don't know if you're familiar at all with Once or if I've fully explained what it is.
I'm familiar with Once.
Once upon a time. So modern day kind of fairy tale retellings, and Ilsa and Anna are coming to town. So it looks interesting. I can't wait to get there. And I'm enjoying it. I watched a movie, and for the life of me, I cannot remember what it is because I did not write it down. I did not make a note of it. And that's kind of sad. I may or may not remember as you're going through your list later, and we may come back to it. But I watched something, and I am just drawing a blank. So other than that, regular TV. I did watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's still enjoyable. It is breaking my heart. In one aspect, I won't say what that is.
Okay.
Anybody who's seen it will know why. It is absolutely breaking my heart. That's about it. It's been a slow week. My 10-hour days at work continue, so not watching a lot of movies. I will continue to think on that one movie that I saw that I cannot remember the name of. What do you got, sir?
Well, as far as TV, I'm starting to back up pretty bad where I'm like, I almost probably need to give my DVR a laxative to get all this stuff out. No, but seriously, I still have about four episodes of Almost Human. And I watched the last episode I watched was, I guess they took a little break and this was the first episode of like the second half.
Right.
And it's just so depressing that that's not on anymore.
I know.
Damn you, Star Wars. Damn you. Just because you had to take JJ away to start doing Star Wars, that's probably why the show's not on anymore. Okay.
I don't think so. I really don't.
Well, I think that he was a main force on getting that on.
Right.
So, anyways, that's just my opinion. Okay, so two movies that I watched. I went back and watched a very early Robin Williams joint, The Fisher King.
Nice. Okay, tell me.
I enjoyed this movie. I probably, because you said that it was one of your favorite Robin Williams, I think it, I wouldn't put it up in like the top three or four of the Robin Williams movies.
Okay, okay.
And it's probably because, you know, I'm watching it after all these other movies.
Right.
But I still enjoyed it. And, you know, the director, Terry Gilliam, says that he still thinks that he's the only one that got the entire depth and breadth of Robin Williams or Robin Williams's capabilities for drama and comedy in the same movie. And I can see where he's coming from.
Yes. Minor correction. And this is the second time you've said it. This is the second time I've corrected you. I did not say it was one of my favorite Robin Williams movies.
Oh, okay.
It is a very powerful Robin Williams movie. Oh, okay. Robin Williams movie. Okay. I enjoy the movie, but it's not one of my favorites. I love him for his comedy. I do. All of my favorite Robin Williams movies are his comedies. But I think this is a very powerful role in the things that it deals with, and in his portrayal of the character. I think he does a fantastic job. It is not a movie I've ever gone back to. I watched it once. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I recommend people to watch it, but it's not the type of thing you go back to.
Yeah, you know, he definitely made the movie for me. But I was surprised that I think, did Bridges and the actress that played his girlfriend both got Oscar nominations?
I wouldn't be surprised.
For their performances.
Yeah, I would not be surprised. It was a very powerful movie.
Michael Jeter, who played the transvestite, he was hilarious. Even though I don't, those type of roles usually don't, you know, entertain me, but he was really good. You're probably not, you know, it's probably been a while.
It has been a while. I remember. I do not remember the actor at all who played the role, but I do remember the role. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. Filling a little hole in that.
Right. And then the other movie I watched was Chronicle. Have you seen Chronicle?
I have not. That is the one about the guys who kind of get, it's like superheroes found footage.
Normally, I do not like found footage, but I'm basically going to rehash what the guys from Backseat Producers said during Amazing Spider-Man 2, their review of Amazing Spider-Man 2, is that because the three main characters are telekinetics, the one guy who always has a camera with him, even before he got his powers, always had the camera with him, and that's kind of where you get the found footage, is that he can use his new powers to kind of move the camera around.
Right.
I thought that was a little ingenious, but I really enjoyed this movie, and it probably caught me off guard because it's a low budget. You don't have your expectations high in this movie, but I really enjoyed it. The big fight at the end where they basically go Man of Steel, but with the POV of the camera, I thought was different and cool at the same time. But I really enjoyed it. And it was surprising that this kind of movie, you know, didn't get a lot of press, at least from where I was sitting, you know, outside of DC and Marvel nowadays.
Right.
Because it's basically an unlicensed superhero movie.
Yeah.
You know?
I very clearly remember it at the box office. I remember it, you know, but yeah, I don't think it did very well. It kind of just came and went. I think it was kind of a flop.
It did okay. It didn't do great in the box office. Some trivia, the screenwriter is the son of John Landis, Max Landis, and they are talking about making a Chronicle 2.
Okay.
But the creative team that did the first Chronicle is off the project because they wanted to make another story. So basically the only thing that they were going to keep was the camera or the shooting style in the second one. But the studio says, no, 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 we need more people flying around and they said, you know what? We're out. Go ahead.
Okay.
You have the rights to it. Go ahead. But that's not what we want Chronicle to be.
Right. Right.
So I'm a little saddened by that, but you know, just another cool thing that got killed by Hollywood. So yeah. So, definitely watch Fisher King, definitely watch Chronicle. Oh, and another thing, it almost is like an hour and a half audition tape for Dane DeHaan to play Green Goblin in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Cause he's one of the three in Chronicle and he's so good. He's so good. I don't know if I would like him in a movie where he's a good guy or he's a normal guy, because he's the villain in this movie. Minor spoiler. Just like he's the villain in Spider-Man, which is less a spoiler.
Right.
But yeah, it is definitely worth watching. I'll probably buy it if I can find it for $10.
Okay.
So those are two movies I watched, and I am planning to catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham. I recorded two episodes of Scorpion. I don't know if I'm going to go in on that because I already saw an article about how they have one of the worst and unrealistic hacker scenes to ever have in episodic television, according to io9.com. So I don't know. I don't know. And Art, this is a good opportunity to bring up the movie that you forgot.
Nope, I got nothing.
Okay, all right. So let's close the book on share time and let's go to news. Art, do you have anything newsy?
I have some newsies. I think you have more newsies. So why don't you go first, sir?
Well, I had to kill one because I think it was just about to crash Skype again.
Okay.
So just real quickly, Key and Peele have received the okay to develop one of their skits into a feature-length movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
The Substitute Teacher.
Substitute Teacher. Okay, I will go find that after the show.
So there is a skit where Key, the taller one, he's the worst substitute teacher in the world because he cannot pronounce the kids' names.
Mm-hmm.
And so... just like one of them is, you know, so Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, it's like A-A-Ron, is A-A-Ron here?
Yes.
And he gets super pissed off if you correct him.
Nice.
And so that's what the, you know, of all the skits that I've seen of Key and Peele, I don't think necessarily that's their strongest.
Yeah.
That would be so many,
but you know,
movie.
Some of their stuff is so controversial.
Right.
You know, like the one with the gay guy sharing a cubicle with another guy, and he's just the flamboyantly, you know, over the top gay, and the guy says something to him. He's like, oh, you know, you're gay bashing. You hate gay people. You blah blah blah. And he goes on this whole rant tirade, and then the other guy, who's, you know, straight laced corporate business, you know, dressed to be in a cubicle. His boyfriend shows up to pick him up for lunch, and he's like, oh, he's not a homophobe. He's like, I'm just an a-hole, you know, or the over-the-topness of the Mexican standoff, you know, Black Ice.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Black Ice? You know, so some of that stuff just is not going to, you know,
right.
They, you know, a big...
They're definitely going for it.
Yeah, they are. Show. Yeah. They were on the cover of Entertainment Weekly
this past week. I saw that.
So
I think they're guest editors.
So they're doing well for themselves. I think they're hilarious.
Okay, Art, what's your first news story?
Okay, my first. Have you heard about John Wick?
Yes.
I have not. I hear that. I only just found this right before we did the show, so I hear that the John Wick trailer is a good reminder that Keanu Reeves is an ass kicker. So they've got me interested. Ex-hitman, so very action-oriented movie. I would like to see where this is going to go, whether or not Keanu Reeves still has legs, or is he completely dead in the water at this point? I am hoping for the former, but I would not be surprised by the latter.
True.
And what really caught my eye about it was John Wick is a prodigious RPG designer. A relatively successful blog. He writes like small little mini games, little things that explore, you know, one aspect of role playing. He's a very interesting person. So I just thought it was funny that John Wick is a ex-hitman. I follow him on Twitter. I'm going to have to send him a little tweet and say, has he heard about his movie? So that has me interested in what Keanu Reeves is doing in this new action movie that will be coming to us soon.
All right. So my next news story is, do you think that there, have you seen any rivalry between Star Wars and Batman versus Superman on social media?
No. But okay. I don't follow that hard.
Okay, so you didn't see the picture of stormtroopers getting stuffed into police cars by the Gotham Police Department?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, apparently Ben Affleck kind of cleared the air on what's going on there. And apparently J.J. Abrams is using a camera operator that has worked with Affleck and Zack Snyder. And I guess that there's pictures being sent back and forth between the two of them.
Okay.
So they're kind of engineering a little, you know, rivalry between these two movies. I think it started because director J.J. Abrams and Colin Anderson, who is a great operator who works on my movies, this is Affleck talking, and J.J. is always trying to steal and I'm trying to steal back. They sent me a picture of the two of them wearing cheap Batman masks. I guess that's how it started.
Okay.
And then he said, I showed it to Zach, and he said, this is bullshit. We have to do something. And that's where Zach had the means at his disposal to retaliate with the appropriately art-directed stuff. You know, stormtroopers getting stuffed into police cars by the Gotham Police Department, stuff like that. And he finally closes, I think it's cool, the sort of meta-awareness of these movies and the two directors going back and forth. I like it. Yeah. I just wonder if, you know, if that would have happened with Lucas and another director. I know that he's, you know, pals with Spielberg, but around when Star Wars was coming out, I don't think there's another, or that would have happened, because obviously there's no social media or places for pictures to get out kind of thing.
Yeah, I could totally see something like that happening, them, you know, just messing with each other, poking at each other, and I think that's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go find that image now, share it with my friends.
All right, so Art, what's your next news story?
Okay, my next news story is, I just found this out, or I knew about this, that they were doing some principal photography for Batman versus Superman in Chicago. Mm-hmm. At the time when we talked about it, we thought it was going to be like flashback younger years kind of, you know, characters in high school, because it was taking place at a football stadium, blah 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 blah, or not like a high school football stadium, or maybe college. But now they are saying that Metropolis, that Chicago is going to be standing in for Metropolis, which I think is pretty cool. They're talking about the some of the principal photography being done, and how Chicago stood in Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. So I just think that's really cool. I know I won't be down to see any of it. I just, when the movie comes out, I'll be looking for it like I did in the Batman movies.
And hopefully you might see something familiar.
Yes, that's always the thing. You're like, oh, I know where that is. Oh, I've seen that before. You know, it's always a fun thing to do when something's shot around you.
All right, so my next story has to do with the movie theater chains and Netflix are not getting along.
Oh, I saw that one.
Okay, so apparently Netflix is, their first feature is going to be the sequel for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes, I saw that.
but they want it to be on IMAX screens and normal screens and to their Netflix subscribers at the same time.
Oh, that's not great.
And the theaters do not want to do that.
Of course they don't.
And so far, Regal, AMC, Carmike or Carmike, and Cinemark have all said that we're not doing that. So we're going to have to see what happens, because I think I mentioned last week that, you know, the studios probably wouldn't mind having that because, you know, people will watch it on demand. They still make money that way. Not as much as in a theater. But you don't have the, you know, you don't have the peripheral business generated by the concessions and all the other stuff. So this is the developing story that we're probably going to have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't see how, I think that's got to cut significantly into the number of people who are going to a theater to see a movie. You know, I don't, because in my mind, Netflix doesn't cost me anything. I watch Netflix so much that the amortized cost of any one individual show feels like next to nothing to me.
Right.
You know, so I cannot justify going to the theater to see that movie. As beautiful as that movie will be and as awesome as it would be on the big screen, you know, I can't do it. I won't do it, you know.
The interesting thing about the Netflix, you know, this being a Netflix feature, how are they going to report how much money they're going to make, you know, outside of the theaters?
Well, it's not, it's, you know, just not going to report through traditional.
No, I understand that, but kind of like their, you know, their television shows.
Right.
You know, if they do eight during a, so let's say they do eight seasons of different television shows, or they have eight television shows during one season, I guess what I'm trying to say, as opposed to doing four.
Right.
I mean, what, how are they, I mean.
I mean, I don't even know how that works between Netflix and the studio. I know Netflix plays some sum of money to whoever the rights holder is to have that content on their website. And the content is constantly shifting, as we know. There's always things being added and there's things that are dropping off, you know. So for some set amount of time, they pay some licensing fee to whoever the distributor is, and then they distribute it through their system. So you could, in effect, say, well, whatever lump sum payment they made to, you know, the distributor, just tack that right on to the amount of money that the film grossed. You know, it doesn't do anything for us in the, you know, number of theater counts or, you know, how much per theater, how much per screen, you know, unless they release all that information as well as to how many times it was downloaded on a daily basis or watched on a daily basis, streamed, right. I should say, not downloaded, streamed. How many times it was streamed on a daily basis to how many homes? Do they have numbers for the number of people in those homes? You know, what kind of metrics and measurements do they have in place, you know, through the user's account information, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a very good point.
I mean, because you could assume, I'm sure that the database information will know that there are probably at least three people in this house because I have an account and it's one account, but you know it knows the difference between is Art watching, is Brittany watching, and then you know if you look at what's being watched, there is a lot of children's programming, so you could assume this is a three person household. You know, so when we download Crouching Tiger, there is an off chance that three people watched it. I don't know. Now that, you know, very, very interesting. But like I said, they could just take a flat bump and say, okay, here, they paid $1 million to have access to that content or whatever the number may be and just put that right on top of the gross.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I almost think that if the studios had their druthers, that they wouldn't even report box office because, they, you know, they always want the curtains drawn on how much money they're making.
Yeah.
So we normally don't hear on demand numbers.
Right.
Yeah. So anyways. All right. I think that was my story. What do you have next?
Okay. No one wants Hellboy 3 more than Ron Perlman. Here's why. So I enjoy both of the Hellboy movies. I believe I own them both, and I own one of the animated movies. I think there's been three of those, and they're pretty highly regarded by the people who actually go out of their way to watch them. I've never read any of the comic books. I like the I know that there are a lot of differences between the cinematic version and the comic book version. I've looked into it a little bit. I find the whole thing very interesting, that kind of paranormal superhero thing. That's kind of why I'm interested in I'm blanking, Doctor Strange. But also that the whole Nazi occult thing really gets me going too. I've got a couple of games that kind of dig into that aspect as far as like board game type stuff. And a couple of role-playing games too, but neither here nor there. But the quote that they got out of him, talking about Hellboy 3, it's definitely a part of the conversation that I have with Guillermo every time I see him. I, for one, would love to see how the trilogy resolves itself, and I will fight for Hellboy 3 as long as my cold, dead hands are not cold and dead.
Yeah, I know that Guillermo and Ron have quite the bond, that if Guillermo ever needed him, Ron would be there in 2 seconds with the shovel.
Right.
To dig a hole. So, yeah. You know, that's another one. That's another movie that I own that I haven't watched yet. In the deep bowels of my DVD collection.
Okay. The first one or the second?
First one.
First one. Okay.
First one. Okay. On to my next news story. And this is a movie. This is about a movie that's coming out in November that I'm really excited about. Interstellar. And the title of this article is, Christopher Nolan says Interstellar is like the mirror image of Inception. I wasn't exactly sure what he meant by that, but basically what he's saying is that the Inception kept going inward and inward and inward, you know, because the dreams upon dreams upon dreams. Right. Interstellar goes outwards. That, you know, basically the story of the movie is, you know, we need to find another planet to live because we've kind of messed up the one that we live on now. So they have to go out into the deep reaches of space. He said that, I liken it to the blockbusters I grew up with as a kid. Family films in the best sense. Edgy, incisive, challenging. Yeah, because I think every Nolan movie that I've watched, you know, it's always made me think. And I've always had, you know, always left the theater or, you know, left the computer a little, you know, different than what I was before I watched it. Matthew McConaughey kind of has a quote that kind of goes along like that, but it shoots way over where I was going. This is the grandest adventure I think any of us will ever see on film. This is the biggest film I have ever been a part of. This is one of the biggest films anyone ever has been a part of. Anne Hathaway concurs. I'm so excited for the world to receive this film because there's going to be a new conversation I believe will happen because of it. It is not a dry science-based film. It has a pulse. It's got blood in its veins. And along with that, they released another trailer. And as a father, I'm kind of chilled by something that goes on in the trailer where, you know, Michael Caine basically says to Matthew McConaughey, you're the best pilot we got. And unless you go out there, your daughter will probably be the last generation that survives on this planet.
Hmm.
And when Matthew McConaughey basically has to say he can either save the human race or he can save the human race, but you'll have to sacrifice probably ever seeing his children again.
Wow.
I just hope that he pays off on what he's promising in the trailer. So we'll see. We'll definitely see. Also kind of a side note that it's definitely going to be an IMAX. And they are selling advanced tickets for early showings before it's out in the regular theaters for only IMAX.
Okay.
So I think you might be able to go see it on a Monday or a Tuesday before it comes out on Wednesday.
Interesting.
Okay, Art, what else do you have?
I am all done. I've shot my wad.
Okay. So as I like to do with my last news story, this one's a little wacky. And I'm just going to go with the title here, 10 geeky debates that had to be settled by federal courts.
Oh, geez.
Number one, mutants are not legally human beings. In 1996, Toy Biz, a Marvel Enterprises subsidiary, sued the U.S. Customs Service and urged a federal court to declare that its X-Men action figures imported from China were not human because you had to pay higher taxes on dolls than other toys. Okay, I think I'm going to link to this article in the show notes, but I'm just going to quickly go through some of these. Two, Dungeons and Dragons is a security risk. This has to do with a prison environment where the inmates started playing D&D and the, I guess the warden stepped in and says, you can't. And then they said that their rights are being violated, basically their First Amendment right to free speech and 14th Amendment rights to due process and equal protection. So, yeah.
And it's hard to play D&D in prison because you're not allowed to have dice.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Number three, zombies are protected by the First Amendment. They were protesting a nuclear power plant, and so they dressed up as zombies.
Nice.
Number four, you have the constitutional right to play video games without being accompanied by an adult. I'm not seeing. So maybe we'll just skip that one. Number five, the Batmobile is a fictional character.
and the Millennium Falcon is real. So
yeah, you know. And it has to do with copyright.
Okay.
And number five, because you can't, because you can only copyright fictional characters, I guess. And they want to copyright the.
Okay.
Here's a comics one: Superman versus Captain Marvel, which actually was heard in 1951. And just copyright infringement. Number seven, you cannot realistically depict a celebrity in fiction. This is actually against Keller versus Electronic Arts, 2013. That was last year. Number eight, Star Wars versus the actual Star Wars. I had to go back into the, you know, when they had the Strategic Defense Initiative in 1983.
Yes. Yeah.
He did not like the government calling it the Star Wars program.
Right. I remember that.
Number nine, this is Bolden versus Colvin. That was heard in 2013. Star Trek fans are not, by definition, mentally impaired. the attorneys for Tennessee resident Gary Lee Bolden presented an impressive list of medical evidence to support the claim that he had been unjustly denied disability insurance benefits from the federal government. The fact that the claimant collected Star Trek memorabilia into his 40s, while perhaps not the norm in rural Tennessee, is a hobby that literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, routinely engage in, as evidenced by the well-attended Star Trek conventions and brisk sales of Star Trek memorabilia on eBay. Some people even dress up as their favorite characters when attending conventions. This does not establish they're mentally ill. I don't know about that one. Okay, and number 10, Transformers, less than meets the eye. This is Hasbro versus Asus Computer International. In 2012, Asus announced the release of its first E-Pad Transformer TF-101 tablet. You know, back when they were trying to get the Ultrabooks out there.
Right.
Which are the $300, $400 laptops. They announced the second generation of the product would be Transformer Prime. So named because it was a premium tablet slated to be the world's first tablet computer to offer the blah, 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 NVIDIA Tegra 3 quad-core processor. And then Hasbro said, hey, you can't use Transformers. And Hasbro said, if you put Transformers on it, people think that they're buying a Transformer. So, yeah. So it's crazy things happen all the time in the courtroom, but now geeky things are happening in the courtroom.
Yes. Sounds okay. Good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know. Okay. So here is where we end the rambling of these geeky court cases. And since, Art, you don't have any more news, here is the end of the show. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you for everyone who participated in Season 9. Hopefully, we have people coming back to participate in Season 10. We will announce next week if we're doing another Amazon gift card contest. Sound good to you?
Sounds good to me.
So other than that, again, thank you for listening, and we will catch you later.
Good night, everybody.